we're doing the question is about Eved, right? So for some reason it's saying that an Eved doesn't have yichus. So his kids are not his. And since his kids are not his, so he's not yotzei peruvu, right? He's not yotzei peruvu. Okay. That's a pasuk by Eved, by the way. Madonov yiten lo isha. His master gives him a wife. Yelda lo banim abanos. And he has kids. So isha v'yelda tiyela doneha. Who yotzei begapo? So he goes free. The kids belong to the master, and he goes out free alone, right? If he brought in a wife, he brings her, goes free with her. But if he has kids, then they're not his, right? The kids belong to the master, right? Okay, fine. So they're not his kids, right? Okay. So they're not his kids. So since they're not his kids, even though he produced them, right? He's not yotzei. Okay, fine. So the question is, fine. So on the surface, you'd say whatever. It doesn't make people like too much. You just say whatever. They're not defined halachah as his kids. There's no yichus for an eved. Eved, they don't have yichus, like the Gemara says, because it's an am hadome lechamor. The chamor, they lack these whatever, something which makes them adam. They're in a certain sense like property or whatever. They don't have kids. Fine. So the problem is, now the other problem is the Gemara says by Eved that an Eved, a chati of a chati ben chorim, so you have to free him because he can't have kids. Can't have kids, right? Because he can't marry a shifcha, can't marry a bas chorim. So it says, aye, so he won't have kids, no big deal. So it says, L'shovarah, L'sheves yitzarah, the world is great to have kids. Right? L'sheves, they call it Sheves. So it says, therefore you free him. Okay, tikkun olam, the Rabbanu force you to free him. Okay? You don't want to leave a guy who can't to be out, so can't have Sheves. So the Gemara says, kasha is, yeah, but even if he were able to marry a Shefcha and have kids, they wouldn't be his kids because there's no yichus for an eved. So you should say, why is it saying? It's because he's not allowed to marry a free, you know, not allowed to marry Israel. Israel is not allowed to marry Shefcha. And if he were allowed to marry Shefcha, it would still be a problem because they're still not going to be his kids. So just say free him because they're not going to be, there's not going to be, it's not going to be yichus to them. If he'd marry a Shefcha, then he'd be marrying a Shefcha from his eved side of him, and the kids wouldn't be his. Right, you're going to be able to prove with them. Right? So why is it, sounds though, from the Gemara, that would have been okay if you were able to marry a Shefcha. He's not Yosef Peruvu. So he's supposed to suggest, maybe you'll say Peruvu is different than Shabbos. Those are all the Shabbos Yitzharah, it's true. If an Eved's kids, he's not Yotzei Peruvu with them. But he's still Mekayim, that pasuk of Los Overal, the Sheves Yitzhara, of Sheves, of populating the world. So I'll tell you that, that's why it's saying that he can't marry a Shefcha. If you were able to marry a Shefcha, at least he'd be able to have Sheves. And you free him because he can't even do Sheves. That's why you free him. So since he's Chatzir Chatzir Mechorin, he can't even do that. Can't even do that. Right, so that's what you. That's right. So that's a decent answer. I mean, you have a problem with it, but that's a decent answer. To say is that that's the saying is that if he were able to marry a shivcha, he'd have kids. They're not. He wouldn't be able to peruvu, but he'd still at least have Shabbos. And I'll say you're freeing him not so that he could be yotzei the mitzvah peruvu, but at least so he can become Shabbos. Which is true. The Gemara says that it says I won't have any kids. It says lo sovra, lo Shabbos yizara. So the world is created for that, and so important. So how could you stop a guy from that? But peruvu, it's okay. So maybe we should freeze at this point in the Tosfos. And I mean, it starts getting more complicated after this. Right? This is where we had our problems. But maybe just at this stage of the game. So this stage of the game, if it would have stopped here. So what would Tosfos be saying? Is that an Eved having children. Let's take the case of an Eved. A Chatzia v'chatzia v'choron. Let's say he's allowed to marry a Shefcha. Okay? So he's allowed to marry a Shefcha. So now this guy, part of him is Yisrael, and he's probably chayav to have kids, right? So now these kids, are they going to be, is he going to be Yotzei the Mitzvah Peruvu? Part of him is chayav Mitzvah Peruvu, so to speak, right?
So the saying is that the conclusion would be as follows, and this is what we have to explain. He can't be Yotzei Peruvu because they're not his kids. There's no Yichas. Right? And Peruvu demands that they're defined as his kids. Right? Which has to be explained altogether, but they are sort of his kids, but whatever. Peruvu demands that there's Yichas, and therefore you need him to be, you know, he's not Yotzei. But you would say that he still is Mekayim this din of Shavas. Right? Still Mekayim this din of Shavas. He's not. That doesn't demand that they're his kids. But I mean, why not? I mean, if you tell me they're not his kids, they're strangers, so then how's he Yotzei Shabbos? So apparently at this stage, Tosfos would understand that you could, in a certain sense, consider them his kids, or something like that, in a certain sense, not. In a certain sense, say he has children, in a certain sense, not. Vis-a-vis Shabbos, you could say, yeah, he has children. Vis-a-vis Peruvu, he says, no, he doesn't have children. So apparently it's not so simple to say they're just not his kids. And anyways, if you think into it, it's not so simple to say, why? What do you mean they're not his kids? I'm just like, why not? They're his kids. It's one thing if you tell me kids are Kedushis Yisrael or something, but you see, you go, oh, yes, kids. What do you mean they're not his kids? I guess you look, what do you mean they're not his kids? Is Mahamish not his kids? At all? Whatever. Basically, the question is, what would be the formulation? Apparently, what would be the formulation? There's a better way to just, what's the difference between this stage between Peruvu and between Shabbos? He ends up going kind of rejecting this, but I think it's a good. It's too many problems with it. I take Tosa step by step. So, what would be the formulation if you'd say that he's not Yotzei Peruvu, but he is fulfilling Shabbos? And freeing him is the force to free him is because of Shabbos, not because of Peruvu. I think it's hard to understand. Why don't you just say, listen, Peruvu means have kids. And you had kids. You impregnated a woman, she had a kid. She brought you, you're building the world. You're building the world. Aren't you building the world? So, because he's not Miucha Sakharov, who cares if he's Miucha Sakharov? He's not Jewish. Well, that's not the problem, because he'll convert later, and then he could be. It's not going to help if he becomes Jewish later. And Tosfos holds it doesn't have to be Jewish anyways. Tosfos holds it doesn't matter if he's Jewish. But according to the Rambam, let's say later he'll convert. Let's say you free him later and he converts. Doesn't matter the Jewish. The Jewish isn't the problem here. The problem is he your kid? He's not your son. He's not Miuchas after you. So, but my question is, who cares? What does Miuchas after you matter? Whatever. Bottom line is, didn't you produce him? Isn't he exists? Aren't you? Isn't the world a bigger place because of you? So you had a kid. He's your son. He's biologically your son. He looks exactly like you. Whatever. Is he called your son on the official registry of Yichus? No. But what does that matter? What does that matter? And you'll say, well, that matters. Of course. But it doesn't matter, you see, by Shabbos, at least according to Tosfos, so it's not just, of course it matters, it's not so simple that it matters. So it must be there's one framework in which you can look at this thing and say it matters, another framework you can say it doesn't matter. So I'm using this as a stepping stone to kind of explain, to pursue a little bit further this premise which we've been assuming, that, oh, he has to be your son. What does that mean exactly? He has to be your son. Isn't he your son? Halacha's not making him your son, isn't he just your son? Right, I mean, he'll tell you, don't tell me he's not my son, he's my son. Whose son is he? The master? He's not his son. I may own him, but isn't he my son? Didn't I build the world through having this kid and whatever, right? Like, there's an unspoken premise in this sugya that, of course, Peruvu needs him to be Yichas. Of course. Right? He has to be called your son. Not just your son, he has to be called your son. What does he do, called your son? Call him what you want. Isn't there such a thing as a son? Let me put together, I think what Danny's starting to say and Dr. J is saying very well also, is that the mitzvah, Peruvu Melus Aretz, it's interesting, because in the Torah, it says Peruvu to the animals. Right? It's a bracha. God is Mubarak. Huh? Right. But first, by the animals, it says, So fill the waters with whatever, right? But then it says, by man, it says again, so that was in Aleph Chaf Beis. And then by man, it says, "Va'yomer v'rachos malkim v'yomlam peruvu malus aratz v'chiv shuha uredu v'tgaseyam." Right?
Yeah.
V'chiv shuha. I guess that's what's added. V'chiv shuha. So it seems See, like, the thing is like this, is that this is what it seems, that animals, Puruhu, just means create lots of monkeys, lots of fish. That's what Puruhu means. It's merely like it's really like quantity, so to speak, you know? The idea of fish means there's a billion fish in the world or something, you know? But man is not just a billion of men, okay? Rather, it's society, civilization, right? And that's the idea of a chivshua. Man conquers the world. Fish, it's almost like every fish is his own guy, right? There's a lot of them. Fill the world means you have a lot of fish there. Yeah, and it's true, fish interact in small little groups, but essentially, I mean, each fish is his own thing. It just filling the world with fish just means fish don't conquer the world. There's just a lot of them, which happens to be there. There's no unit of fish. But man is mevichivshua. What is it? Redu b'diateku, sovereignty over the world and conquer the world. Man is like, man reigns in the world, and man forms, man is different than animals. Man has knowledge, and he has speech, and he could form a culture and a society and a whole world order. And that's what, for man, filling the world for man is not the same thing as filling the world for an animal. It doesn't just mean create lots and lots of human homo sapiens running around the thing, but it means to create a society, create a civilization, conquer the world. Man could conquer the world because through his interactions, through his society. So Mapuruvud means like to have human children, not like a chamar, but to have human children. And the basic way that's done is through on a basic level, that's done through family. I mean, of course, it works through people interacting, whatever. But the basic unit of that is through the family. That's the most primary underlying, element in a society of human interactions is the idea that you have children, parents taking care of their kids, teaching their kids, raising them in a certain way. They pass things on, and there are chains of lineage which society is built. And so it's saying is like, to have a kid, when an Evan has a kid, he's merely like a child producer. And that's what it is for the master, right? He's simply like a, DNA, who could manage to impregnate his shifcha and give and produce money. The kids are not, he's not creating like the human civilization and society. He's simply creating workhorses for the master, and he doesn't have any relations, no family. They just belong to the other guy, and that's what it says. I'm a domal chamar. They're like a donkey in that regard. They are like a donkey. They're not risen to the level of sophistication of Adam. A guy is. An Eved is like a certain type of subservience where part of, like, I guess, of a humanity is your sovereignty, your freedom, your individuality, your independence. But an Eved is like, it compares us to Hamar, and he doesn't partake of that higher human element of being of creating a society. And his kids are not, they're just whatever. They're belonging to the master, they're not his kids, they're not called his kids. So he's saying is the mitzvah of Puruvu is to build humanity. Build humanity means to have kids who are Yichus Acharav. The Yichus is what makes them part of the basic element which binds them in. What binds each person into the human civilization is the yichas. Their chain. They have a chain, and there's a chain in which all the chains ultimately go up to Adam Rishon. But the idea is that there's a chain, and they're part of the society through the fact that you belong to a chain and you have yichas. But it doesn't work that way by an Eved. So what it's saying is that Puruvu demands yichas. But Tosis is saying that that's the mitzvah Puruvu. And that's the way Adam was commanded, and that's Mitzvah Puruvu. But Lasovra, Lashevis Yitzara, Tosis is entertaining. He doesn't end up this way. But he's saying is maybe he'll say that just means that the world should not be empty. Lasovra, God didn't create the world to be empty. So maybe that just means is biologically to reproduce human beings. And it doesn't involve the higher element of Adam. It's just something which is given, is the basic core. The core of this idea of Puruvu for Adam is the biological reproduction. It's just biological reproduction plus, right? Plus this human element, which is created, which exists through Yichas. So maybe he's saying is maybe Sheves is purely the biological element. Sovara, you're not stagnating the world. You're not running the world into nothingness. You're creating by more human beings. That's something. That's Sheves. That's halachically recognized in the tradition of Sheves. It's not Peruvu, but it's Sheves. And you'll say is that you're free or slave when he can't be involved even in that. As Tikkun Olam is if your Eved can't even have the basic kiyum of Shabbos, then you free him. But if you could have Shabbos, even though he can't be involved on a higher level in the in the Peruvu, but at least he's involved in the basic halachically recognized institution. The problem is going to be that Tosis is going to show no, that you're not even Yotzei Shabbos. Even Shabbos is not. That's his next move, is that Shabbos is also in the world of Peruvu, and it also demands this thing. But he's not, we're not up to that yet. This is what he's attempting as his answer, but he's going to upslug it from the whole thing. If you really just have a kid who's not, he's no yichos, he's like an isolated, a free-floating human being. Like a fish in the sea, it has nothing to do with humanity. The mitzvah is, especially in the society, like Yeshua.
Through children.
Through your children, right? The children is, right.
Perpetuating the society.
Right. Building human civilization, human society. Through adding to that civilization by creating a child.
Right.
But he has to be hooked into the human civilization, to society, to mankind, this body which accomplishes, this collective body which accomplishes the Chavshua. So therefore he has to be hooked in through Yichas. So he's not hooked into Yichas, you're just creating an individual, isolated child. But that's not provoked. Sheves is just a biological child. You are the biological cause of the existence of this guy. This is Tosis at Havmina. This is his attempt. Okay? And he's saying it is, look, at least that's something. You're fulfilling something, and that's halachically recognized. And maybe you'll say is that you don't free the guy if you could do that. Is it the everything? Is it a Kiyama Mitzvah? No. But it's lo sovra. He's involved in the realization of Kiyama Olam. The world was created for that. At least that. Right? Is it the mitzvah peruvu? No, the mitzvah in the peruvu is koveya, a higher level. But is it fulfilling the objective of Yitzara, why he was created? I'll say, yeah. He's fulfilling the objective of the creation, was just that there's mankind. Is there a higher level? Yeah, but he's still involved in the, it's recognized as he's involved in the, in fulfilling the objective of creation. But again, the mitzvah peruvu, I'll tell you, is koveya, a higher level. Chai Yisrael's mitzvah, in something higher than just the real, the objective of creation, of just creating human beings. It's something more than that. So that's what I'd say. But you free him, we force Tikkun Olam is a guy who can't even be involved in the basic humanity of a human thing, a basic thing of realizing man's objective of creating biologically human beings. You can't do that. That's why I'll say you free him. But he's not Peruvu. Okay, Peruvu is a mitzvah. You don't free a guy just because you can't do a mitzvah. You're going to force an Eved, a master, to free him. It's an honest thing, by the way, is when the Torah, a few times, it tracks the population of the world. It always does it through Yichas. You know? The toldos of this one and the toldos of that one, and the genealogy, and it goes all the generations. He had those kids, he had those kids. It's like the way the world is in the beginning of the Torah is involved in the building of the world. The way the world is built is through this guy and all his kids, and this guy and all his kids, and this guy and all his kids, and that creates the basic social structures of the world. The basic interactions are through the families, and we're all hooked in and through, whatever. And then there's further levels of the society is, the inter-families and whatever. But the basic level, the society is built of social groups, and the most basic social group is a family. Yes. What I'm saying is that man is not just miluas aretz; it's miluas v'chivshua. Animals just fill the world; it's just full, it's just quantity. There are lots of them, but man, through his filling the world. You can't do it through just doing science. It's through having children, but having the children is the method of building the society, and the society conquers the world and has redu as dominion over the forces of nature and the other beings and all. That's the mitzvah, is to build humanity. It's not just to create lots of quantity, but it's to create the institution of society and of the
it's not a bar hockey of Kibush.
And in fact, that's an argument for saying only men are mitzvah in this thing. because it says men are dakali kavish. Men go conquer, women don't conquer. So it seems, I mean, that's we're not up to that sugya, but it seems basically the mitzvah of Puruhu is not just to have biological kids. If we're just to have biological offspring, so a woman and a man are both having biological offspring, it's human man's nature to have offspring, it's woman's nature to have offspring. But it says the mitzvah is to build the world through this method of having children. Men are the builders of the world. The Torah took the people who wanted who would build worlds, who are in the parsha of building worlds, and it's mechayev them to build the world through, build society through having kids. It's a method of kibush. And that just says, who is a mitzvah? It was mitzvah those who are shaykh to the institution of kibush. But a woman's nature is not, she's not involved in that framework, and the Torah was a mechayev.
So
Tosis does reject it. Tosis rejects it. Because of the following. Following is that, so again, what's the main idea that Tosis is saying is that Puruvu is not equal to Shabbos. Puruvu is one thing, Shabbos is a different thing. It's a lesser thing. That's the premise of the thing, right? In form. Okay? But he says it's not going to fly because it's not true. Because there's a mitzvah of Puruvu. The Gemara is trying to figure out how many children you have to have for Puruvu. And one of the Shitas, who we don't hold like, but one of the Shitas, Rabbi Beis Hillel, according to Rabbi Nassim, according to one of the Rabbi Nassim prizes, says that you only have to have one child, son or daughter, because of this pasuk, Osovra, Shavas Yitzara. You just have to be involved in populating the world, the Shavas. And you did. One kid is also the Shavas. Right? So you see, right, whatever his svar is there, but you see the punchline is that it's using this pasuk of Shavas to delineate the shear, the quantity of when you're Yotzim is a Puruvu. And now if you work to maintain that Shavas and Puruvu are two different things, right? So then how could you use the pasuk of Shavas to indicate the mitzvah of Puruvu? See, if you learn the Navi of Shavas is just an elaboration of Puruvu or something, so then you could use that pasuk to help show you what's necessary for Puruvu. But if you're going to tell me they're really different things, then it's not legitimate. I'll tell you, yeah, Shavas, you could have one kid, because Shavas, you could even have animal kids, whatever, heaven kids. But Puruvu is different. Puruvu is a different mitzvah. It's a mitzvah, and that may be the man's higher level. Right? But you see that the Beis Hillel did not hold that. Apparently he held Sheves and Puruvu are two ways of saying the same thing. Right? One of them is like as a command or as a bracha. I'm not the one who's just revealing what God created the world for, but that is the mitzvah. Puruvu is nothing more than just the embodiment of the what God created the world for in the Shavas. So therefore, if that's the case, which is indicated by that Gemara, so you must maintain that Shavas is also humanity. Says God didn't create the world for nothing but for civilization, but for Shavas to be populated. It doesn't just mean to create a quantity of human beings, but it means to create humanity. And just like by Puruvu, you're not Yotze by the Aved Kid, so to Hashavas, you're not fulfilling it by the Aved Kid. And therefore, having a biological child is not Puruvu nor Shavas. In which case, you've got a problem on your hands. Back to the original question, is that why does the Gemara have to say that the Aved can't marry a Shivcha, the Sechas Yehudah can't marry a Shivcha? Even if he were able to marry a Shivcha, he wouldn't accomplish anything because he wouldn't have Puruvu, he wouldn't have Shavas. So you should free him because of that. But it doesn't. The Gemara says it's because he can't marry a Shivcha. So the question is back on. Okay? The question is back on. Sounds good. The problem we raised yesterday is that this is only one position. There were four positions, if you recall, about what's the shear of Puruvu. There's we hold not like that. We hold you have to have a son and a daughter. And we don't learn it from Shavas. We learn it from Bria Solom. And there's Beis Shammai who held that it's two sons, which is learned from Moshe Rabbeinu. And there's another Beis Shammai which held it's two sons and two daughters, and it's learned that from Kain and Havel. So there's this one position of Beis Hillel, leaving the Beis Shammai, the Rav Nassim, which says that it's one son or one daughter because of Shavas, But maybe that's a mafalkas. But this Gemara, right, the Gemishna, which says that you free your Eved, that whole thing is, I'll say, isn't according to that.
A little better is that that's really Bishama Beisela,
that Mishnah. So that Mishnah is Beisela Bishamai. It says then that they both hold that you force the guy to free him because of Shabbat, right? You force the Eved to free the kid
because of this whole story, right?
So since they're holding that, now that's Beis Hillel saying that you yotzei with one kid, right? Because of the Sabbat Shabbos Yisrael. Only thing is, it's Beis Hillel according to Rabbi Nassim. We don't hold that Beis Hillel that way. We hold Beis Hillel the other way. So it doesn't quite solve the problem, because why can't you just say is that that's Rabbi Nassim, but our Mishnah isn't Rabbi Nassim. Our Mishnah, or that Mishnah which is saying you free them, is not Rabbi Nassim. Rabbi Nassim holds Shabbos and Purim two different things. So he says, how's Rav Nassim going to learn? Well, how's Rav Nassim going to learn? I guess he's not going to say this whole Mishnah. He's going to say that Vishnu Rasul, unless the problem is you can't. Rav Nassim can't just say Vishnu Rasul didn't say that. They did say that. How's Rav Nassim going to learn? That's a good question. So, how's Rav Nassim, why don't you say that this knocks Rav Nassim out? Rav Nassim's saying this is Vishnu Rasul, this is what Vishnu says, right? But Rav Nassim also knows that Vishnu said this thing about freeing your Abba, right? So Rav Nassim must know that Beis Hillel learns, according to this line of reasoning, that Shavas and, Rav Nassim must know that, if you want to maintain this answer, you're going to say Rav Nassim must know that Shavas and Purim are different. And that's why he had to say that you're freeing your Eved because you can't marry a Shavka. Because if you could marry a Shavka, you'd have Shavas. So if that's the case, then how could Rabbi Nassim claim that Beis Hillel's position is you can have one son or one daughter because of Shabbos? Right? So the fact that Rabbi Nassim did learn it out from Shabbos, it must be Rabbi Nassim knew that Beis Hillel held that according to Beis Hillel, these are the one in the same institution. So you're going to have to work this out at least according to Rabbi Nassim. You're going to have to explain this Mishnah. So you can't just throw him out. I mean, what have you learned? So once you say that, then we might as well just say it's everybody. Right? That kind of works out, right?
Good way out of the problem.
Okay, I'll tell you what I think anyways is not a problem. Because the way we learn, at least the way we learn the Svara, is the way we learn the Svara of whether or not you have to do, you know, have one kid or two kids, is not that Shevis is a different idea altogether, but that the mitzvah of the shita held you can have one child holds that the mitzvah of Puravu is a mitzvah on the tzibor. It's a communal mitzvah. It's not accomplished through each individual. The tzibor does it. And each individual merely has to be a participant in this greater idea. Right? This greater institution. As opposed to the way we hold is that each person has to on his own have a property of populating. So he has to produce both species or multiplication. Right? That was the machlokas. Machlokas was a matter of, is it accomplished in individuals, or accomplished through the group? But it had nothing to do with whether there'd be no room in that to differentiate between Avadim, you know, whether he's a human or not a human or whatever. It's like a different thing. Sheva, the difference between Shevas and Puravu, even according to that, was not, they basically Puravu and Shevas were the same thing, according to Beis Hillel. It's just a difference of whether it's through the individual or through the group. Right, so it wouldn't be legitimate then to say, since that's the way, if that's what it's saying, so then you can now start differentiating between Shabbos and Purim. You see, even earlier, the only question of Shabbos, the only difference between them was a matter of quantity. It wasn't a matter of the type of children, it was just a quantitative question, rather because of the fact that it's accomplished through the tzibor, through the individual. So if that's the case, you could say it wouldn't really make sense to then differentiate between them vis-a-vis Eved and, you know, their more basic you know, like the Svara for the Beis Hillel was that Shevis and Purim are the same thing and just on a different level, you know, tzibor individual level. So it's not like he was saying, and we would hold, no, we hold that. That was what Shevis was. So even those who argue on that position, they say, no, the mitzvah doesn't go that way. But it's not like they're learning that Shabbos and Purim are totally different things. I mean, you could force it and say they're going to learn everything totally different. But the reason why we didn't hold by Shabbos was because we hold it on each individual.
for what? So let's get to the main idea of Tosfos now. So Tosfos is proving, if accepting his proof just in the pshat, so he's proving that Shevas and Purim were the same thing. And both Shevas means God created the world for Shevas, which means for creating human society. And that's what Purim means. So if you have an Eved child, you're not going to fulfill either of those. And you haven't filled anything, Allah. Right? So if that's the case, why don't you say that you have to free the guy? Because even if you were able to marry a Shifcha, you should have to free him. So Tosfos says no. Because at least, he says, you wouldn't force him, force the Rav, because he could be Mekayim something. Something, a Kaldu, even though it's not Peruvu, and it's not Shevas, still something. Still something. And still, since it's still something, you're not going to force him to, to get the free as Abbot. Look, is Evan still able to feel something? What something? I don't know. Something. What do you mean? It's not Shevas. It's not Purim. Shevas and Purim are two sides that are related. That's what he shows. Right? So, what does that mean? What does that mean? The saying is that you could still, even though it's none of those, you still only, you don't force him to free him, but unless it's nothing. And here it's something. The idea of Shevas is like this. The idea of, according to this, that they're the same, is that Puruvu is not just God just created a mitzvah from nothing. But Puruvu is the embodiment of the objective of the Bria. Okay, God, the Pasuk in Shevas says God didn't create the world for nothing but to be populated, to populate the world. So it means that was part of the plan of the Bria, is that the world would be populated through human beings. And now that objective of the world was God realized through being mitzvah man in doing that. So the mitzvah is you being commanded to realize the objective of the Bria. And they're the same thing. Just one of them is referring to it as a commandment, and the other one is referring to the underlying philosophical reality of which the commandment is the embodiment of. Now, since you see the mitzvah is to have humanity, society, children who are part of society, that's what he's arguing is what the underlying institution is. The mitzvah is the embodiment of the institution, so the embodied institution of the creation of the world was to have the Shevas, means to have a human society. And that's the mitzvah, is to realize that underlying objective. So now it's saying is that an Eved sleeping with a Shifcha, having a child, which is not his child, is not fulfilling either of those. It's not fulfilling the objective of the creation. It's not fulfilling the other thing. Living Peruvu. So then if we should force it, you should free him in order to accomplish something. So he says, no, he's still accomplishing something. What's something? Okay, let me leave you with this question, and let me give you another one. Okay? Another question. And this is a very strange question. Okay? Okay, so the next Gemara, okay, you'll see, it's very strange. In Mahailo Banu Mamesu, four lines to the bottom. Let's say, we talked about this a little bit, let's say you have kids, and they die. Okay? So now you're Yotzei, do you have to now get new ones? Make new ones, right? Funa Amar Ki Imper of Ribya. That's it, you're Yotzei, too late. Once you have your kids are good. Reb Yochanan Amar Lo Ki Im, Reb Yochanan says no. Rabbi Yehuna Amar Kiyem. Why? Why would he say it's Mekayim? Simple. Yeah, good. No. Yehuna has a little bit of a more complicated explanation. Mishunda Ravasi, because of Ravasi. The famous Ravasi, Dama Ravasi. Ain ben David Ba. Mashiach's not going to come. Ad Shiyichlu Kol Neshamo Shebegof. Until all the souls from the soul container are emptied out. Okay? I'm just translating with Rashi. Okay? Where's Rashi? Yeah, Rashi. Klomar. Taima de Peru Revia, the reason for Peruvo, Mishum de Ravasi. Because Ravasi, Vahai, Kiwan de Natlu, Al Yado, since through your having a child, you took out, Minishamo Shibosa Otsar, you took out from the souls that are in this storage house, Sheshmo Guf. This storage house is called the Guf, by the way. Harikim, it's a Ravia. So why have you fulfilled the mitzvah? Because the mitzvah is that the Mashiach's not going to come. There's a certain amount of neshamas which have to be born, have to be put into bodies before Mashiach's going to come. And your mitzvah is to get these neshamas, to get more all these out. And that's the mitzvah. So now if you have a kid and he dies, you've still gotten one of these bodies out, one of the neshamas out. So therefore you yotze. Right, what's the problem? They die, they don't go back into the storage house, they go into the lava or something. Right? Maybe they didn't, they don't. They don't. Okay, that's, we know that they don't. Okay? So that's Reb Yehuna's argument. So what's Reb Yochanan going to say to that? How could you argue on that? Right? How could you argue on that? He said, look in Berubia. The Shabbos, but it's a Rabbeinon. The whole mitzvah is l'sheves, to populate the world. And you're not populating the world, because after all, your kids died before they got a chance to have any further offspring. Right?
So what are you saying? You're saying that if the kids die, then you have to have more kids?
Yes.
So what's the problem with that?
Oh, that's fine. The problem is the first position, which says you don't have to have more kids. And the problem with that is not so much in its own right. See, if you didn't have the Gemara explain the reasons, I'd say fine, it sounds good. Is the mitzvah to have kids, and you had kids, or is the mitzvah to, I don't know, maintain your kids, I don't know, you have to explain it, but whatever, it's not so bad. But when the Gemara explains the reasoning, it says the reason why you yotze if you had kids, and they die, is not just because, hey, you had kids, who cares if they died? But it says because, look, by having a kid, you're taking a soul out of the neshama box, and now you have one less soul and you're helping Mashiach come. That sounds like a funny halachic type of a reasoning. Right? Sounds funny to explain the halachic, the mitzvah. I mean, mitzvahs are formulated. The reason why Yotze mitzvah or not is should not be based upon the metaphysical neshama box. It's like a funny way to incorporate that as your halachic line of reasoning. The halachic, I mean, the whole thing sounds... honestly, sounds wacky. The whole thing sounds a little bit crazy. That's, you know, the whole thing is hard to understand what's talking about. Mashiach's not gonna, look, as an agadata, it's a nice agadata, or maybe it's a nice agadata. It's a strange thing altogether. So Mashiach's not coming to the neshama box. What's this neshama box and how does it work? What's the sense of that whole thing? But look, agadata, you can have an agadata. Agadata's an agadata, whatever it means. I don't know. But now to say that the mitzvah is to empty out the neshama box, I mean, that's not a normal structure of a mitzvah. And you could have just said simply, you're yotze the mitzvah because you have kids. And that's the mitzvah, to have kids. And I don't care what happens afterwards.
So the problem is that they added the fact that the neshama box?
Exactly.
That's part of it.
Exactly. That's part of that. And that's the way he's explaining his position. So our job is to explain the machlokas, but we can't just close our eyes to that aspect of the thing, it would seem. Well, no, right. The question on the other side, right? That's the question on the other side. The question on the other side, on Rabbi Yochanan, is that what happened to your mitzvah? When are you kind of the mitzvah according to Rabbi Yochanan? When you have kids, I mean, that's what Rav Huna should have said. You yotze. How could you be on yotze a mitzvah? Mitzvah is a mitzvah to have kids. You had a son, daughter, you yotze. Forget the neshama boxes. It's just simple. You had kids. Right? Just say that simple. And Rabbi Yochanan's difficulty is, how could you not be yotze? You retroactively on yotze mitzvah Rav Huna. You had kids. That's the mitzvah to have kids. You had kids. Now what? Now you unhad kids? Who cares that they died afterwards? The mitzvah's over. And how halachically, it's true, you're not accomplishing the purpose and whatever, but halachically, you had the kids. How does it come back?
Right?
I take a lulav, and then the lulav gets burned up. I'm not on yotze the mitzvah. I mean, I did the mitzvah. I took it. I don't care what happens afterwards. It's unfortunate the lulav got burned up, but whatever.
Yep.
Right? So this is altogether a difficult sugya.
Where's the game?
Right, that's what I was just saying. It's time of the perivia because of this thing. What, this is the Tam? I mean, it's right. Getting Tamei HaMitzvahs. Who ever heard of a sugya defending the halachic position based on Tamei HaMitzvahs? Tamei is Tamei HaMitzvahs, and you don't explain a halachic machlokas based upon Tamei HaMitzvahs. Tamei HaMitzvahs is a different study. It's philosophy of mitzvahs, and it's important and all that. It's good. But it's not halacha. Halacha is a different, study. So now what the machlokas is, what's the Tam of Peruvu? Is it because of the neshama box, or is it because of the Sheves? That's what sounds like it's machlokas. I mean, what kind of machlokas is that? According to Rabbi Yochanan, it's true the purpose of the mitzvah is to have kids and to populate the world and all that. And it's true, once they die, it turns out that it didn't work out. But you should say the mitzvah has to have a structure. And the way the mitzvah is, what do you chayv to do? You chayv to have a son and a daughter. And once you have a son and a daughter, you say, yotze the mitzvah. And now, once that's the case, it should be whatever happens after that is tough, is too late. Now, it may be true philosophically, now you're not in line with that objective, whatever, whatever, whatever. But bottom line is, halachically, how do you structure a mitzvah where a mitzvah reemerges afterwards because you, whatever. Let's say I take a lulav and then I end up having amnesia that I took a lulav and I smashed a lulav on the floor. Am I unyotze? You can't be unyotze in mitzvah. Mitzvah is a mitzvah. The chiyuv this gets gone.
The question is to Rabbi Yochanan.
At the moment, right, exactly. My father's saying, the moment he has kids, he asks Rabbi Yochanan, am I yotze mitzvah or not yotze mitzvah? If he'll say no, he'll say, so when am I yotze mitzvah? When I die? And then my kids are still alive? Like, is that how you get kiyuv mitzvah? Dying? It's, you know, or no, or maybe you'll say that, but that's to be defense, a funny way to say it. Or you'll say, no, you're Yotze Mitzvah now. So then you're Yotze Mitzvah now, then what happens once the kids die? Then you somehow remove your being Yotze Mitzvah? How does that work? Mitzvahs don't work that way. Yotze Yotze means no Chil Chova anymore. So I'm as a new Machayev? How does the whole thing work, you know? So either position is, I mean, Rabbi Yochanan is halachically difficult, but who knows, halachically simple. Just say Yotze the Mitzvah, but he's philosophically difficult. So, Rabbi Yochanan's, if they die or if they end up being sterile, they can't have kids. If you have kids and then it turns out they grow up and they realize, oops, they're not going to have any kids, then also I have to have new kids. But how does that work? And it was at the moment when I have the kids, when am I Yotze or not?